plenty of would-be presidents are crisscrossing New Hampshire these days, hoping they'll be the one who ends up in the White House next January. But plenty of sitting presidents have made their way to this state over the years as well, going all the way back to the first president. T.H. Breen is an award-winning historian and author of a number of books. His latest is called George Washington's Journey, The President Forges a New Nation. He joins me now to talk about some of the first president's travels in the first-in-the-nation primary state. Welcome to Weekend Edition.
Well, welcome to you, Brady.
What was George Washington trying to accomplish with these travels through every state in the Union?
Washington had come out of the American Revolution very fearful that the major danger facing our country was fragmentation by states, by regions. And that was one of the reasons why he came out of retirement, much with great reluctance, to become president. So the trip was designed entirely by him. It was not suggested by any of his cabinet members as a way of persuading the American people from Georgia all the way up to New Hampshire that they were part of a larger polity. If they supported the Union, they could realize a greater level of prosperity and security than they could by concentrating on their own states or localities. And as you probably know, and your listeners know, that at that time, the group of states that was most worried about being part of the United States were the New England states, not the southern states, as I think people might imagine. George Washington had a famous, I suppose some would say infamous, dinner party with the governor of Massachusetts, John Hancock, who insisted that in a state, the governor outranked the president. It became a kind of a dinner party etiquette about whether Washington would go to Hancock's house or Hancock would go to visit George Washington when he was in Boston. But in fact, to Washington, that made a lot of difference. And he just waited in his little house until the governor backed down and said, no, I'm sorry, I agree. The president of the United States outranks a governor. But these were all precedents, Brady. I mean, Washington sensed that if he got the script wrong, future presidents would be in a bad way.
And those precedents carried through even to something like how he would travel into a town and how a town would receive a president.
Absolutely. Washington was a master at what you and I think would think of as political theater. He was a very accomplished showman. When he set off on his trip, he thought, well, look, I'm not the head of the Continental Army anymore. I'm just president. And he wore a proper business suit. But the people would have none of it. They wanted to see him dressed as the leader of the Revolutionary Army. And so when he got to a little town, he would stop maybe a few miles outside the town, go to the baggage cart, get into the military regalia. He had special white horses, chargers that were used in battle. And there he would ride into town. General Washington has arrived. But it was all an effort to bring attention to the new regime.
In addition to traveling to Portsmouth, New Hampshire for several days, one of the people traveling with the president was from New Hampshire. Tobias Lear grew up in Portsmouth. What was he like?
Tobias Lear is a very interesting figure, and he came out of college. He was too young to have had experience fighting in the Revolution, but he was very bright and very earnest, and he had a way with figures. And so for some time, he handled the household finances of the Washington family and won the trust not only of George, but of Martha Washington, too. On this trip, at least on major parts of the trip, Tobias traveled with Washington. And later, when he was married and the capital of the United States was in Philadelphia, they lived in what was then the White House. They were very, very close. Washington had some wonderful experiences in New Hampshire. He loved his stay in Portsmouth. They put on a grand parade for him. So that was the start of what we think of really terrific political parades, when I suspect there were as many marchers as there were spectators.
The cumulative effect of that visit to Portsmouth and his travels through New England, did that assuage any of his concerns about the New England states and what they were worried about as the country began?
Yes, it did. What he found in New England that pleased him was what we might think of the first seeds of industrialization in Connecticut and Hartford and up around Boston. He visited textile factories. He saw that these efforts, entrepreneurial efforts, we're going to free the new country from reliance on European imports. He had a strong sense that our independence wouldn't be secured as long as we were economically dependent on foreign powers. So he came up through New England, and I think the industrial experimentation really impressed him.
You retraced Washington's journeys physically. You traveled in some of the places he traveled.
Terrific, Brady. I'm a research scholar. I taught in a university, and most of my work is with newspapers and documents. But this was a chance to get out in the field. And I tried to drive the same roads that Washington drove. Sometimes the numbers have changed. Sometimes the roads have been erased. In some areas, I would find a building that Washington allegedly stayed in. And I found that, in fact, it had been moved at least two, sometimes three times since Washington's stay. You know, the whole physical landscape of America turned out to be fluid as people tried to save houses by moving them or storms moved them for them. So my trip was both historical and a little bit archaeological.
We occasionally get visits from sitting presidents here, and certainly people who would like to be president. It's interesting to think that some of the way that those events unfold today in 2016 have roots in 1789.
Absolutely. I mean, certainly the issues about which Washington felt most strongly, and that was that we are one nation, that we should stick together and avoid the kind of debilitating fragmentation, I think are as much issues today. Folks that, for right or wrong, celebrate strong states' rights, I mean, they can do what they want, but they certainly can't look to Washington for much inspiration. His goal was to keep the strength and the unity of our country.
T.H. Breen is the author of George Washington's Journey, The President Forges a New Nation.